Join Pastor George Izunwa on a journey of genuine God encounters through the Word of God. Through the teachings of Pastor George Izunwa, you will gain knowledge on how to triumph over challenges and transform them into testimonies. For more information and testimonies, contact us at 0702-5000-950 or 0702-5000-951. Experience the power of God's Word. Jesus exceeds expectations.
Job 33, 14 to 17. He said, "For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not." So God is talking, man is not hearing. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon their bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. Can you lift your right hand? May God give you guidance in the way you will receive. We say that dreams are images, sensations, thoughts, ideas, sounds, and experiences that occur in the sleep realm. They are subconscious experiences that play out like mini movies. And we say that it can be about the past. They can be searching inwards of you, or they can be intuitive into your future. Whichever one, it can be reviewing your yesterday or talking about something that is internal to you, introspective, or it can be prospective. And we say there are three ways that dreams come. It can come from God, it can come from the human mind, and it can come from Satan. Do you know that one of the things that helps in the interpretation of dreams is called the gift of interpretation of tongues? That is still part of the function of that. Do you know that there are gifts of the Spirit? The gift of healing, working of miracles, faith, the gift of tongues, and interpretation of tongues also. Why is that so? Because dream can be a language of the Spirit. Look at Numbers 12 verse 6. It's like he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I the Lord will make myself known unto him in a vision. And we speak unto him," how? "In a dream." So dreams are part of the language of the Spirit. So interpreting that is part of the gift of interpretation of tongues. Because tongues are languages. You know, of course, there are tongues of men, tongues of angels, and of course, you know, there are tongues of devils. Tongues of men are your natural languages. Tongues of devils are incantations. And then you have your prayer language that God gives to you. So all of that is part of the journey. So if you are having a problem with interpreting your dreams, understanding them, you can read 1 Corinthians 12 verse 10 and say, "Father, give me the gift of interpretation of tongues." Okay, maybe you don't understand. Look at Daniel chapter 5 verse 12. When they needed Daniel to interpret something that was in another tongue. Daniel chapter 5 verse 12. He said, "For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and shewing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubt, we are found in the same Daniel." So Daniel had a gift of interpreting diverse things, whether languages or dreams or visions, and you could see all through his life he was interpreting them. When Mene Tekel of Asin came out there, he interpreted them because they were tongues that were not tongues of men. They were not natural language to any nation, but Daniel had to interpret them. That's the gift of interpretation of tongues. And he also was the one interpreting the dreams of the king. I speak over you today. Receive the gift in the name of Jesus. Now, there are some issues people grapple with when it comes to dreams. The first one is, they say to you, "I don't seem to have directional dreams. Pastor, I don't dream dreams that make meaning or give direction." I've made it clear to you before that not all dreams are meaningful. But once in a while, they are meaningful dreams. And if you find out that you are always not having dreams that make meaning or dreams that are godly, the same way you create an atmosphere for divine guidance, The same way you create an atmosphere for dreams, because it's part of the divine guidance you are seeking. So before you go to bed, worship. Before you go to bed, make sure you create an atmosphere of prayer in tongues. Even if it's for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Lord, if there's anything to speak to me tonight, say it to me in dreams and visions, and then you move on. If anything comes, fine. If it doesn't come, no challenge. So you go with an atmosphere of prayer and meditation. And don't forget that most dreams come in what they call REM sleep, random eye movement sleep, when a kind of deep sleep comes. And it's always difficult to enter into that if the atmosphere is challenging. You can't sleep deep. So most people that say they can't have dreams, many times they put on all forms of lights in their rooms to go to bed. So the lights are shining into their eyes. And they said they couldn't have a dream. They had a dream they couldn't remember. They never go into a deeper sleep. So allow yourself to sleep well. And many people that spend much of the night from midnight until 3 a.m. praying and get worked up, the few minutes after that, because their whole body is charged up and the prayers they're praying were aggressive prayers, many of the dreams they have are dreams of battles. It's not revelation. It's just multitude of business. They didn't sleep well. And they've had a multitude of things in their mind. So it's playing out there. So create the atmosphere. Rest, pray, ask the Lord to do that. And many times also just put a music that is relaxing and just go to bed. What's the big deal? You have your phone, charge it, and then play music you put there. Very simple, quiet, moving music, and drift up to bed and trust the Lord to speak to you. That's all. I trust the Lord from today. You have better experiences. Then another person says, I don't easily remember my dreams. And my answer is very simple. Be sensitive and intentional. Now, within the first 5-10 minutes of your waking up, you're most likely to forget any dream that you are not intentional about. So they will always tell you that within the first 3 minutes of waking up, review whatever your dreams are. So if you're intentional about it, it's easy to remember. Because believe me, there's no night you didn't dream. I'm talking about scientific fact. If you don't dream, you go mental after some time. You can check the researches they've done. Go online, medical researches. You dream. It's just that you don't remember your dreams. So be intentional about it. Whether they make sense or they don't make sense, you don't interpret every dream. People get all kinds of stupid dreams and they want to make sense out of it. If it doesn't make meaning, move on. And many times what saves you is that you were able to record the dream and this sequence and these actions written down within the first 30 minutes. After that, it starts dissipating. Next time when you are recollecting it, you're not recollecting it in sequence and in the fullness of the way it appeared. Other things have intruded on it, diluted the memory. So if you are recording any dream, it's not 2 days after, it's exactly before 30 minutes of it is over. Or you are waking up, it's over. That's when you have accuracy in the recollection of your dreams. So be intentional. Now, other people say, I often have disjointed dreams without meaning. That's why I told you to keep a record of all the disjointed dreams. Forget about the meaning, just write them down. And then after some time, you will see that they begin to take shape. This part you are putting. By the time you look, you have seen a picture. Let me explain. Anybody notice that in the Bible, all the prophecies about Jesus, his birth, his death, his resurrection, we are not written in one verse or chapter. For you to piece the life of Jesus, you consult the Psalms, consult Isaiah, consult Zechariah, consult all kinds of scriptures. Oh, where will he be born? Bethlehem Ephrata. You pick that up here. Oh, how did he die? He was wounded for a transgression. You piece of it. Who sold him? Oh, for 30 pieces of silver. By the time you see all different prophets prophesying at different times and seasons, and you bring the whole picture together, suddenly the picture of the Messiah stands out. But if you are looking at just one prophet and one prophecy, you don't get a clear picture. I told you a story some years back. He just retired. They paid him off. And he said to me, Pastor, the only money I removed from that was money I gave my wife to travel abroad and do some shopping for her business. He said, within less than 3 months, in fact, before even my wife returned from her trip, all the money is gone. 419 took my money. He said, since that time, my wife, we have been fighting. She calls me all sorts of names. She says, I'm stupid. because I have to beg out for money to fuel my car, to do this and do that, and every day is a battle. How can somebody like me, who retired as a manager, lose the money within 3 months? Everything, and even borrow from friends. So I said, no problem. Let me pray with you. Let's see what God will do. So he comes to the office. I laid hands on him, and I pray with him and his wife, because I said, let her come with you. And I said, well, we're going to do this prayer for about 3 days. You're fasting. I'll fast with you. And then let's see how God, what God will say to us. Any dream you have, any revelation you have, any thought that passes across your mind within the fasting, write it down. When we come together, I'll talk with you and we'll review it. So the first day he comes around with his wife and he said, well, Pastor, I had a very funny dream. The dream doesn't just make sense because I'm not interested in politics, but it's a political dream. I was in the village and then they were discussing about somebody who was in office, and they said, we're going to accuse him like this and remove him and all of that. And they just decided on that and they removed the person. He said, I'm not in politics. I'm not interested in politics. So I said, no problem. I said, all I told you is write it down and forget about it. The second day he comes, he said he didn't have any dream. I said, no challenge. We just pray. If the Lord didn't speak to us by dream, that's not a crime. Then the third day, we're supposed to meet. I'm in the house. I finished my quiet time. I was still kneeling down. And I just dozed off like in a trance dream kind of thing. I was kneeling down. It was morning, not in the night. And I saw myself in a place. And I saw this big barn. And I saw them stack yams in the barn. And there was a kitchen just beside the barn. And then suddenly I saw fire come out of that kitchen and wipe out every yam in the barn. The moment it happened, I jumped out. I was so scared. I jumped out from my knees out of the experience. I said, God, what is this? As I was about to pray, the Holy Ghost said, it's not about you. You're not under attack. It's about the man you're meeting today. That's what happened to him. So I said, okay. So I came in and he sat down. His wife sat down. Did you have any other dream? He said, no. So I said, this is what God showed me in the dream now. I said, now before I pray for you, let me tell you this. That when you see fire in the dream, you already understand the fire burning. There's something talks about loss. It interprets itself. I said, the place you need the interpretation is about the kitchen. I said, the kitchen talks about a woman, because most times women rule the kitchen. Or a near kinsman, people you eat from the same pot with. Are you having a challenge with your brothers that can make any one of them curse you? No. Are you having an issue with any woman that can make the person put you in trouble? No. Your mother? No. Your sisters? No. Anybody? No. I said, okay. Sir, please step outside. He went out. I said, wife, sit down, sit down. I didn't ask you to go. Stay. I said, woman, are you living in any kind of sin that can wipe out your husband's future? Are you in any adulterous relationship? Are you doing anything that can hurt his destiny? She said, no, sir, nothing. And I asked again. I said, because this is about a woman or people that are related with people. So you are not having a quarrel with your family members. He's not having any, and there's nothing. No. I said, okay, let's go into the prayers and forget about this. I said, call him. So the man came back inside and sat down with the wife. I said, well, I've just told you this simple interpretation that what happened to you either came from a woman or came from a near kinsman. And while I was talking, I saw the wife quack him and say something to him in their language. She was telling him, tell pastor. That's all I could reckon from there. Because after that, he said, pastor, excuse me before you continue. While you are talking, I remember something. He said, this woman I am here with is not my first wife. He said, I was married before. And then when I met my wife, I didn't have that job. We are living in one room, the old wife, the first one. And we continued our life from there. Then I got a job and things began to improve. And then I began to rise well in the company. But me and her, we are growing apart. He said, then they sent me on posting outside the country to do some work and all that. He said, in the midst of that, I met this one. Then he just wanted to get out of that other relationship. So he went to the village, talked to his family members, accused the other wife of adultery. When she came, all the elders said all kinds of things and nobody wanted to listen to her. And then they threw her out. So when he said that, I said, do you remember the politics thing you saw? Discussing about somebody to remove from office. You see, when he saw that, he didn't know it connected to this. Because it was looking like politics, not knowing it was what he did many years ago, that God is reminding him that this is the root of your affliction. I said, okay. He said, but that's not just that, Pastor. He said, when you were telling me that this fire came from a kitchen and it represents a woman, he said, all that was on my face was that lady standing in my father's in that obituary and lifting her hand and pointing at me and my family. I said, I met you when you were nobody. We lived together in one room. Now that you have become something, you are throwing me away with a wrong accusation. He said, God will make sure you don't eat of that thing. I said to him, I said, now you see where the fire came from. You see, it's simple dream interpretation. All God wanted to do was to show us the root of that. Because this is not an issue now of binding and losing. This is an issue of crying for mercy. Because many times we are binding and losing what we have no right to bind. That's why prayers are delayed. That's why answers don't come. You are on the wrong platform. Lift up your hand. I pray from today your eyes open.
Amen.
Your understanding be opened.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So many times you collect different dreams before you interpret them as a whole. Now the fourth issue that people have about dreams is, they say, Pastor, I have followed some dreams and landed in serious trouble. My answer always to people like that is this. You need to interpret the dreams before you respond to them. If you don't interpret it right, you will respond wrongly. And secondly, if there's a major life decision you want to make and you have a dream, subject that dream to other confirmations. Other confirmations. If I dream today and I saw myself playing football and then they came to sign a contract for me to play for Arsenal. You're not hearing me. But let's come back to practical things. You see, I'm talking about interpret before you act. If I saw that kind of dream and I get up tomorrow and say, God is promising me that he will renew my strength, am I going to play for Arsenal? You automatically should know that that dream is not pointing in that direction. Now, if I am not good in football and I saw that dream and I am somebody who is conscious of dream interpretation, I will know that the skill I manifested in the night is a skill I didn't have. So the first thought that should come to me is this. God is saying to me, there's a skill you need to acquire that is going to create an opportunity for you that's going to take you to a place you are going to. So the play I saw myself playing is not football. Football takes talent and skills. It takes training. So there is a latent skill I need. It may be there a little and I need to develop it. And then this skill is going to open a door for opportunity. That's why I saw myself signing a contract to play. So when you interpret it in the context of that dream, you get clarity. Is anybody hearing me? Then you ask yourself, okay, what can this skill be about? The skill wasn't mechanic skill. The skill wasn't academic skill. The skill looks like some game. So is there something that looks like a game that can bring me to prominence? The thoughts are not crystallizing. So if you are not somebody who has an understanding of interpretation of dreams, you wake up the next morning, you start praying, Father, renew my strength. Shakoto lagada, bandroposuha, asena, here I come, makaparata. You are finished. But do you know there are people who have gotten married from that? They just had a dream. Saw themselves on the altar with somebody. They couldn't interpret it well. And then as far as they're concerned, that's my husband. They didn't check the environment of the altar. They didn't look at the face of the people that came for the wedding. They didn't look at what the man of God said while they were standing there. They didn't check what they wore when they came to the altar and what the person wore. There was nothing there. All they saw is altar because they were desperate to get married. Get clear interpretation before you act and get other confirmations. Somebody say other confirmations. So dreams are metaphorical conversations about you and your environment. When we talk, you know, metaphor means a figure of speech. Representing something by what it resembles. That's a metaphor. You represent something by what it resembles. If I say to you now, this man is a tortoise. If I am talking to an Oyibo man and say, this man is a tortoise. And I'm talking to an Igbo man and I say, this man is a tortoise. Understanding is different. The Oyibo man says he's too slow. The Igbo man says he's too cunning. It's a metaphor, but the symbols are relative to the person's dream experience. Everybody's life experience, everybody's environment offers more insight to the dream than any other thing. The case I gave you now about playing football, signing a contract. If it is an 8-year-old boy that woke up and told me that story, I will lay hands on him and I will speak into his life and command the grace of footballing to rest on him. Because at his age, God is pointing to him where his destiny lies. At my age is another story. Come on, are you hearing me? So the dreams don't follow general interpretation. It has to be related to each individual and his experience. Let me give you an illustration of what I mean by atmosphere. Let's say I'm a businessman now, and I have a contract I am pursuing. And then this night, I have a dream. In that dream, I saw myself in the company, and we are sitting down to sign the contract. And then suddenly, somebody walks in and takes the pen from my hand and breaks it. Naturally, you will say, oh, somebody came to stop the contract. You are right. The person that came in took the pen from my hand as I was observing and broke it. But that's not all the story. What makes the story is the environment, not just the action. So, who came? Oh, I saw a dark man. I couldn't recognize his face. He just came and took that and broke that. Or I saw my pastor. He walked in there and took the pen and broke it. The two are totally different things. The first one is an attack. The second one is a warning. Don't go. The first one, the devil is trying to stop your blessing. The second one, God is saying, if you sign this contract, he will swallow you. One is your spiritual covering that came to protect you. One is an enemy that came to hinder you. If you don't have a context of the environment, you can't give a good interpretation. So when people wake up, that's why we say, write it. What did you see? Remember it. How did it go? It helps you to have clarity. And when you are sharing your dream with a pastor or a prophet or a friend and you are asking for interpretation, the questions the person will ask you tells you whether this person is good enough to interpret it or not. If he's not asking about the environment, he doesn't know what he's talking about. My God. So you went in there, you had a dream, your pastor walked in there and broke the something. You wake up in the morning, you call a few of your friends. He said, pastor is attacking me. You start 14 days fasting to resist your pastor because he's hindering your progress. And then, okay, when God sees you binding and losing and rebuking your man of God, God says, okay, go and get a job. You get a job and you finish it. And for 10 years, nobody paid you. All the money you borrow from the bank is there. They've taken your car to sell, taken your house to sell. That's when it suddenly dawns on you. But you know, foolish person, you say, see, I told you the pastor was fighting me. See, now pastor has rendered me useless. Now, as I spoke about pastor, the same way, if you are married, it was your husband that walked in there and took that contract thing and broke it. If your husband is actually a good man and a spiritual covering over the home, your husband didn't come to resist you and say, don't take that job. It's a spiritual covering thing because it's the head over the wife. You see, because this is what keeps people in problem. What you don't know is bigger than you. The pastor, I followed the dream and things fell apart. The Lord spoke to me. Somebody came to me one time. He said, the Lord spoke to me. I know I'm married by divine guidance. I had so many dreams. And then now I'm suffering. Pastor, tell me why God deceived me. So no dream speaks in isolation from the atmosphere of that dream. Interpret. Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly, right? And 1 Corinthians 2:9-12 says that no man knows the things of a man except the spirit of that man. And God gives us a spirit so we can know what is really given to us. Let me review a few things now. I said the things you consider is the place and atmosphere of that dream. Always consider it. Secondly, you consider the objects, the persons, the figures in that dream. Consider it. Another thing you consider is the actions of the key characters in that dream. Consider it. Another thing you consider is the interaction of the dreamer in the dream. What did the dreamer do inside that dream? Or was he just watching, or did he participate? What was the action? The next one is the ending of the dream. What you check? And then afterwards, the outcomes of the dream. After I had this dream, what followed? So those things are things that help you to know, okay, this dream is not okay, this is okay. One of the things that messes up people in dream interpretation is stereotypes and biases. For example, in Nigeria, it is just normal that when you sleep in the night and eat in the dream, demon is pursuing you. That's the stereotype, the stereotype. The other one is the bias. Your biases affect the way you interpret something. For example, somebody you don't like appeared in your dream. Just the fact that you don't like him, that dream is a bad dream. Even if he came to bless you, you wake up in the morning and say, it's a wicked people. They talk as if they're blessing you and they kochuko you. He said, God is telling me to be careful of that man. No? That when he comes the next time, he will come with sweet tongue. Why did you interpret it that way? Because you were already biased. So those things are very important. For example, if your mother hates Igbo people and you are getting engaged to an Igbo girl, her bias will make sure that any dream she sees is a bad dream. If she sees that girl come to the house and is sweeping the compound, instead of interpreting it that this girl will serve well, she interpreted that this girl came to sweep all the destinies of the people away. The next day, she said, Kai, now what? That girl has gone to native doctor. He has swept everybody's destiny away. We need to pray. That woman, a dangerous woman. All that she's talking about is based on what? A bias.
In today's fast-paced world, we all need contacts and mentors on social media for inspiration, motivation, and more. You can connect with Pastor George Izunwa on all his social media handles. Follow him on Facebook at Pastor George Izunwa, Instagram and Twitter at George Izunwa. Connect and let's take the journey of greatness together.